listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, my lovebirds out there somewhere. It's Tomiko Torres, a.k.a. Tommy Torres, back on with you guys on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're able to chime in today. We have some unanswered questions for, you remember our caller Mike that called in that had the DHS case where he was in the midst of being bribed to take other children that were not his? Well, he's going to call in today to answer some of the questions that our listeners had. They want answers. You know, people listen to the show, and unfortunately, I couldn't get to all of the questions. It was too many of them. Thousands of questions poured in. I'm going to get to the ones that are, I feel as though, somewhat important, you know, that people need to know. And the ones that I will not say that they're not important to me or to the person that's asking the question. I just believe that it's a little too personal for millions of people to hear. And, you know, I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable, or I don't want anybody to feel like I'm, you know, trying to comfort them. And it's not my question. It's, you know, our listeners that have the questions that they want answers to. So I like to keep it fair and square. Also, October is the month of Domestic Violence Month, and we will be celebrating that month by having one of our sponsors give away a ring that's valued at about $20,000. And we will be participating in Domestic Violence Month by having domestic violence victims come on and share some of their stories for the month of October and where they are now in their lives and potential situations that could lead up to domestic violence in a relationship's current, you know, status. Because anything can happen. Jealousy plays a part. People that have toxic relationships plays a part. Trying to avoid all the things that could lead up to such, you know, heinous behavior. Like the young lady that befriended someone that of a guy that she liked from the Rough Riders motorcycle crew. And he participated in some of the events of the young lady's death. And one of her friends wanted to come on the show, but it was kind of hard for her due to the trial and hearing all the things that this other young lady who was really, I don't know, they paint the picture how they're going to paint it. But, you know, for factual events of how she murdered her friend because of the love for her man, you know, like something like Wife 215. It's crazy, guys, by the way. By the way, Wife 215 and her husband, Joe, they're going to renew their vows. So let's hope they can put some of the stuff with Larry behind them. Larry, you know, the neighbor across the street who is actually a female, not, you know, we'll put it right there. We're going to put that in park, you know. So we have a lot to talk to Mike about today, and he should be calling in shortly. But I wanted to share this with you that, you know, regardless of the situation that you're going through, never resort to violence. If you're not mature enough to be an adult to talk it out or walk away, just think about things before you actually do them, because that can be a forever scar in your life. Things that can lead up to that potential domestic violence situation. So we're going to have a good time in the month of October listening to stories and hearing people's truth, because I don't want to be the one to put words in anybody's mouth. And also, I wanted to tell you, anybody that feels like they need to send me a message in regards to any tips or clues you have in any ongoing cases, please feel free to, and that is in any state, as I have no specific jurisdiction. So in any state, there's something going on, call in, let me know. I'll see what I can do to handle things and put the right people in the right place. But I would definitely like to thank everyone for coming on the show and listening and being good participants on the show, you know, every week dedicated faithfully. I really, truly appreciate you guys. So I'm going to get right down to business. We did speak to Tweety Bird. She's supposed to call in probably after this show airs. Maybe on the next show we can get Tweety Bird on. She has a lot more to share with us, by the way. And this whole umbrella system, you know, is just to enlighten people, not to bash anybody, you know, talk bad about anybody. We just want the truth to be heard, and we want the truth that is confirmed to be heard. Shout out to Baby King Hill / Mirandez / Carabello. We're still praying and hoping for a safe arrival of him, for something to turn up on him. There's a lot of clues, you know, Blue's Clues. It's a lot of clues out there, and hopefully something will turn up. You know, he's 4 years old now, and school is right around the corner. So people should be still on the lookout for him. I know people want to silence that topic, but it is what it is at the end of the day. Keep your eyes and ears open. Stay very alert, especially in the states of Florida, Indiana, Puerto Rico. You know, that is an American territory. So keep your eyes and ears open. I also wanted to touch base on, you know, people spreading propaganda of others when they're in a bad situation. I think people need to be mindful on bashing people, you know, especially when they're at their weakest point. There was someone that brought something to my attention about a case out of Philadelphia. Young man was shot like 26 times. But we'll get back to that topic because that's going to be in our domestic violence October month. Our caller is on. Mike, how are you today?
Oh, I'm blessed by the best. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad you could come back on the show. I have a couple of, well, I picked a couple of great questions out of the thousands that came in that, you know, people want to know. You were on the show before, you spoke of some things, and they wanted basically to hear it from the horse's mouth versus me getting the questions and answering it myself and having to play the guessing game of what's in Mike's mind. So I decided to have you back on the show so we could try to get down to business on this. So I'm going to go with the first question. And since there are quite a few questions, if you could just summarize it a little bit, that way we can get on to the next question very quickly.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. So the first question would be, when did you realize that the DHS system is not a good place for children?
Oh, well, with the one scenario that I dealt with my youngest, Mikhail, my biggest problem was that I wasn't contacted by DHS. I was contacted by a friend of the family. So I'm the biological father, and 4 days later, someone else has contacted me. That's a major drop of the ball.
Okay. And how would you rate the DHS system as a single dad trying to get custody of your child or children?
This is not the first rodeo for me as far as being a single dad. So I had to jump through a lot of hoops in the first time, but this case that we talked about on your show last time, I was much more prepared. So with that being said, not everybody has the access or the things that I had available to me in that scenario. So it's not that easy. Very difficult, actually, in my opinion.
Okay, so how would you rate them? Let's say a 1 to 10. Or we can go down to a 0 to 10.
Any group that deals with children, especially, and families, has to be held on a higher level. So I'm not giving no big scores, and they can't even get a 500 batting average with me. They're in the threes and the fours, maybe even lower, because you look at some of the bad situations, a lot of the bad situations, and it's just not a high score in my eyes.
Okay. How much money did you spend during your case?
I was fortunate that I knew the attorney that represented me, and it wasn't a very high cost because, you know, it's kind of a family friend situation. So I had access to a better advocate than most at a more reasonable price. With that being said, you can't go into these situations, I don't care who you are, without a loaded gun, so to speak.
Okay. And there's a question that someone had, and I believe the question is a little too personal because it's a question about abuse. And I don't think I would want to ask that question because I would ask you to decline the answer, which I know you would. So I'm going to skip along to the next question. But I just wanted to know, because that individual is on the line, so I just wanted them to know that questions regarding any type of abuse to be described is not something that I would do on this show. So I'll ask, did you confirm paternity? If so, what was the process?
That was confirmed early in his, when he was, this child had some medical issues at birth, and he was in intensive care for a long period of time after the moment of birth. When I say long period of time, I mean 8 weeks or longer. And because of the high risk situations and all, blood tests and everything were all taken because if he needed transfusions and so such and so on.
Do you feel like the workers who handled your case were uneducated or biased?
This case went on for such a long period of time because his siblings were in the system for over 3 years, maybe longer. So it was passed on. I was contacted by multiple people handling this specific case. Now, after I had already gotten custody, you know, I was still involved because they were looking for placement after a couple of years, which I would have loved to have done. And it just wasn't that simple with my health issues at the time. And it just wasn't, I would have loved to have done it. And they tried to sweeten the pot in a lot of ways, but it wasn't practical, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. Did you have a choice between a male or female worker?
I had no choice. Just people called me at random. So I was, and you got to remember, I lived in a different state.
Okay.
So it wasn't that easy to work. You know, it's one thing to work or be involved in these cases and in the system, but when it's from state to state, then there is even more red tape and a lot more opportunity for, you know, the buck to be passed or the ball to be dropped. So if that clarifies anything.
Okay. A listener had a question that says, you mentioned things were painted to represent the kids were being taken care of. What did you mean by that statement?
It comes to the lesson that later, much later after they were out of the system, that it was a very, very difficult time for these children involved. Extremely difficult in some scenarios, definitely unacceptable, and not borderline abuse, but physical and mental abuse. So, and that's coming from the horse's mouth. That's coming from them. That's not my assumption or, you know, it is what it is. So.
Right. When you realized your son was in custody, how long was it before he was returned?
They were removed from their mother on a Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. And it was right before the Easter holidays in 2012. Like I said before, I was never contacted or notified. That Friday evening, I was contacted by a friend of the family. And that's the moment I was aware that my son was in DHS custody. The initial court hearing was that following Tuesday, which I had obtained an advocate to represent me and was there. And they decided that day that I would get custody and receive custody. But being, like I said, I was out of state, it had to be an inspection and all, and they were hemming, the DHS was hemming and hawing, well, it's holiday and it's going to take a couple weeks for us. It actually demanded that he gave them a deadline. And it took a week, but being that their mother and older sister had visits on that every Wednesday, I declined to get him until that Wednesday evening so they could at least have all of them together for that visit. If you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like a week to 10 days before I got him, physically got him. I was awarded him, and then they had to do their inspection and everything. So if that clarifies.
Okay. Have you ever dealt with CASA, or did you have an advocate from another agency?
With who?
CASA?
No. I actually dealt with Child Inc. in the state that I reside in, which is, I guess, a byproduct of the DHS system, or a private entity that works with DHS. And, you know, I didn't have bad experience with them, but single dads don't have it's a little better now, but, you know, like I said, in the 80s, I dealt with this type of situation, and it wasn't single men didn't have a lot of leverage or opportunity. So it can be a struggle. But no, I never dealt with that group or affiliate that you had mentioned.
Do you believe it's a play-to-pay system, as our host claims? I guess they're referring to the host as myself.
Oh, boy. I think it's, unfortunately, because, like I stated when we spoke on the other show, and now it's a fine line, because there's children and it's family and it's parents, and that structure has to be handled with very delicately. And unfortunately, I don't know that that's taken always the case. I think it's more about quota and a lot of people. Finances. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are in this as far as the foster parents and everything. There's a lot of good people, and that's in any situation, but there's a lot of people who are, oh yeah, I'll take some kids, give me some kids. That check means a lot to quite a more people than it does the well-being of our youth, and our children are our future. I ain't copying no Whitney, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Why did you feel DHS was not the best situation at the time the children were taken?
In almost every situation, except if the children are in physical or danger, there's things that can be worked out in better ways than just removing children from a lot of situations. Some situations, it's imperative that they're removed immediately for the well-being or the welfare of the child. But I think they're quick to pull the trigger because it is a system that's quoted and, like you said, almost pay to play, unfortunately, because it's a family. It's children and families are broken. Sometimes they never heal. So.
How much money were you offered to take the other children?
That question there is pretty good because I don't know the numbers per se, but when I told them financially, you know, I live in an apartment and, you know, my health wasn't the best and, oh, well, that's not a problem. We'll get you housing, free housing. And I said, well, you know, like I said, you know, I'm not the healthiest. I don't work at my career that I was, my trade that I, you know, was gifted at anymore. So my finances are menial. Oh, not a problem. You'll get a check for each child. It was like transportation, whatever bow that they could tie and sprinkles and curl the ribbons and whatever they can do to spruce up the package. It seemed like they wanted me to jump at it. And I think I did what was best in the big picture, because there's other factors involved in that. If I would have taken his four siblings, that in the big picture, in the long run, would not have been conducive for a positive outcome. In my humble opinion.
Do you think you should have left all the kids together instead of just taking your own?
Absolutely not. And the history with the other children and myself, I've always been a positive aspect in their life. And actually, one of the boys was like broken and begged and cried the day that I did come and get my son and was like, I want to go with Mr. Mike. I'm not staying here. I'm leaving with Mr. Mike. Why can't I go? And it was heart-wrenching. Please understand, because I still to this day am involved with these children and love them dearly. That's tough, man. But I had to take my son. And I looked at the other children as my children. You don't have me. I'm one of them dudes. Blood ain't all that matters. But he's my little boy. And I would have been a failure not to take him.
Do you believe in the unforeseen? And this individual is explaining the unforeseen as maybe DHS believes that the child is with a good foster parent.
If you could clarify, do you mean the foster family that they were with?
We're going to move this kid to this home because we've investigated this home. We feel like this foster parent is a great foster parent. But the unforeseen is they really don't know when the foster parent shuts the door behind their back. They're like smoking weed. They're like turning up bottles. They're, you know, blasting music and they're like just ratchet. I guess that is the unforeseen. So they're thinking this person is good. And then they can't really tell because it's on the surface. They pass the background check. So do you believe in the unforeseen where they could make a mistake and think that the foster parent is a good place for the child.
Oh, absolutely. And this case is a perfect scenario where the foster parent was a single mom herself. And if I remember correctly, resided with her mother, and they had a daycare business at their home. So they had a reputation of being forthright and certified to give care to children, caregivers. But, you know, it's come out over time that it's not always the case. These children were mentally and physically abused. So,
do you feel like the DHS system should be defunded by the government?
Would it be more scrutinized if it was a privatized business, or is it, you know, government regulations, it's a lot of red tape and stuff like that, but there's not as much oversight as we would expect. And maybe the privatized system would be held to a higher standard.
Did DHS offer you any furniture vouchers, clothes vouchers for your son upon him being released to you?
No, nothing. The only thing they ever offered me was if I would take the other children.
So housing. There was no great benefit in you. I won't say a great benefit, but there was no additional help. Meanwhile, he was still under their care, right? They didn't just say, here's your kid, goodbye, have a good day. They said, hey, listen, we still have to come to your house. We still have to check in on this kid and make sure you're doing the right thing, Dad. So anything you need from us? Do you need any furniture? Do you need any clothes? Was there even an offer?
There was none of that. And remember, it was a multi-state, so it was pretty much they're really not gonna do that kind of work. I don't know if it was only in one state that they would go that far. Maybe they do, not in my case, but once I picked him up from the foster house, that was it. You know, I got with the system down here in the beginning to get some medical coverage for him.
So but you actually went to the foster home where your son was staying and said, hey, hi, I'm Mike. I'm here to pick up my kid. This is who gave me specific instructions. Or was there someone that from the agency that came along to say, hey, this is the dad. We're giving the kid back to him. Is that how that went?
No. I went up. In fact, the daycare and where the foster parents resided was up near Juniata Park. And I guess they were contacted. If I recall, I didn't even have any paperwork.
Wow.
So they were just, here's the number, here's who you call and contact, blah, 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 boom, there you go. And yeah, pretty raw, I would say. When you're transferring a child, and we're talking about a child who was 13 months old.
And they just said, you know, go get your kid, not knowing if you were going to maybe assault, not saying you would, but not knowing if you could assault these people. Like, hey, you've been holding my kid hostage. And they basically just said, have a good day. But hold that thought, Mike. We're going to take a commercial break. You just hold on because I got some other questions for you. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price? but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself, in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home. Fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors. No home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is. No repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Wow, Mike, I'm just a little blown away because I've never even heard of that before. You know, I mean, I've heard of some crazy things, but to say, you know, here's the address, let me write it down on my little sticky note, and you take this and you tell them, give you your kid, and these people actually hand them over to you?
Yeah, that was the scenario. Actually, that Tuesday at court, you know, my advocate told me we signed some paperwork and everything, and they said how they would do the inspection and stuff like that. And when that was taken care of, I was contacted, and they gave me the address and the phone number, and it was basically up to me to contact and set an appointment to go get him. And one second, real quick, my little one that we're talking about, he's 10 now, and he knows his dad's on the radio, and he just wanted to say hi.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Well, we're glad that you're with Dad, and you're safe.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
He just wanted to, he's like, wow, this is pretty cool. Because he was with me when we did our other interview. And he was like, wow, this is a really cool process. So I'm very blessed.
Oh, wow. That was very nice of you to put him on. That's very special to see that he's come a long way. And here he is today. You know, I'm glad that he's with you. But I'm just blown away at how he's now no longer worth anything to them. So all this other time he's being held hostage for ransom. And now the ransom has basically been paid and the courts are saying, okay, give Dad back his son. And they're like, well, he's not worth anything. He's off the books. So you can go get him now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? I don't know.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable. But someone wanted to know, what was your home inspection process like?
Like I said, this was right before Easter. So they wanted to wait till after the holidays. And fortunately, between my advocate, my lawyer, and the judge demanded that it be done as soon as possible for the children, you know, for my little one's sake, and to reunite him with his biological father. They weren't real happy with that, but they went along with the program. And they just came down and, you know, I lived in the Newark, Delaware, on the University of Delaware, right on the campus. But I'm in a pretty nice apartment, nothing special, you know. But they came down and checked everything, make sure it was clean, make sure it was a safe area. Things like that. You know, I guess the basic, you know, you got food in your cabinets, you got food in your refrigerator, you know, clean sheets. I you know, and he was a little one, so I had to go out and get, you know, safety stuff for the tub, the, you know, the rubber duck thing to put on the nozzle where the water comes out in the bathtub when you're bathing a child, if they're playing in, so they don't bust their head on steel spigot and stuff like that, and outlet covers. And I was prepared. So they didn't have any recourse or anything to, you know, like I said, I cross my T's and dot my I's in all scenarios.
Oh, great. And And that's good that you're a dad, so you know the things to look out for when dealing with kids and what can protect them from harm. Someone wants to know, what emotional trauma have you suffered from dealing with the whole DHS system, and have you recovered yet mentally from it?
As far as mental anguish, I don't know if you ever recover from being pissed off. And what affected me more than anything was to know that my son was in DHS custody, and being the biological father, I was not contacted by the system at all. I did all the legwork when I finally found out 4 days later that he was in their custody. And like I said, not by them, by a friend of the family. So as far as trauma or any more anger and disdain for the system, because I'm sure people think, well, your case turned out pretty well in the big picture for you and your biological son, not so much for the other his siblings, but it pissed me off that they can get away with that, because I should have been the first one notified.
Okay, and it seems like someone has a liking for you, Mike, because they want to know, are you open for a new relationship? Are you dating, or are you just single? Are you just a single dad?
You know what? I'm a dad, and I've been blessed to have my son come into my world. And it's not my first rodeo. I have grandchildren, not a young man. I don't date. I don't go. I do everything. Everything I do is about being a dad. I'm a 24/7 dad. And with that being said, we are happy. Would I like to have somebody in my life, a partner willing to share and someone to achieve common goals and to help nurturing and raising this magnificent child that I have? Because quite honestly, anybody who knows my son knows that he is a light keeper. That's what I call him, keeper of the light. He's a magnificent person. And I, quite honestly, I'm content on just being a dad. I'm always open to look for, but I don't shop around, and I'm not out looking to date. I don't go to bars. I don't drink. I don't party. None of that. Everything I do is with my son. We travel. We do fine dining. We go to historical places. We go on vacations, everything. So I'm a 24/7 dad. And if I'm blessed, if we are blessed, me and my son, to find someone who's willing to add to that what we have, I'm always open for something like that. But I'm not looking. I'm content to be a dad. Well, might sound corny, but I'm telling you what it is.
No, that sounds quite exciting, especially for our little guy that came on. He may be hosting a show one day in the future. He's a people person, as we all can tell. And I wanted to ask you, because someone wants to know, what advice would you give someone fighting to get their child or children back out of the hostage situation?
Ooh, fight. Fight, fight, fight. Let no hurdle, no fence, no wall, nothing deter you from the task at hand. Tenacity and passion. And if you can't find the answers, find someone who will assist you. Never, ever, no matter how much the deck is stacked against you, fight for everything, with everything you have, because these little people you're all they really have. The system isn't about them. You're all they have. So fight for them with everything, everything. And it may not be easy, but never, ever give up. Never.
Well, Mike, I really thank you for joining us today. This was really great getting some questions answered. And now our guests can be at ease to know where you are and where you're coming from with some of the statements that you made that were very important. And I'm quite sure you've answered a lot of questions in other people's minds today of how to move forward and handle certain things. Efficiency is one of them. You're very efficient at handling the task that got you where you are today, 13 months to 10 years later. That is a true light keeper at the end of the day, I tell you. So he got that trait, that DNA runs deep. But I'd like to thank you for coming on today. And in the near future, we'd like to have you back on the show for an update, you know, to keep posted on how he's going along and things that are going on with you. But I'd like to thank you for calling in today.
I greatly appreciate it. And I'm glad to be a part of it. And any assistance that my story could give to someone is just a blessing. And you can... I don't know how everything works, but if there's people who need access to me that I can help or just give them my advice or anything, not that I'm somebody special, but I'm always open. So you have my information and I thank you and everyone have a blessed, blessed evening.
Thank you, Mike. Wow. That was really, really deep. You know, when you talk to people, sometimes you don't know all of the things that they've gone through and been through with these type of situations. And I could honestly say what shedded some light on how these kids are basically worth something to being worth nothing at all. It's like, you know, you got a diamond, you know, they say you got a diamond in the rough and then it turns out to be a zircon. I call them zircons. They're zirconias, but I call them zircons, you know, because the zircons, they come in all types of shapes and sizes, all types of values. You got one zircon that will scratch easy and then you got one that will shine more. So it's a lot, you know, dealing with this type of situation. And it's amazing that the kids that are troubled, they are so fast to get them out of that system because the troubled kids are not the ones that they want. They're not worth much because they become more of a headache. They have to call the police more. There's more police reports to be made. This kid is trying to set my house on fire. This kid is selling drugs out of my house. I mean, it is traumatizing on how it's set up for these kids. And I do believe this needs to be privatized to the extent of getting real people that really care. Not, you know what, I got 10 more years. I got 5 more years. I'll collect my pension. I got to deal with these kids. You know, I don't even like kids. I got my own kids and I don't even like them. That type of attitude that, you know, comes from, and like I said, I know people that work in this system. Okay. So I know, and I hear, my ears grow like Pinocchio from some of the things that I've heard from some of, I hate to say that we're friends, but unfortunately we're friends and this is their profession. They have their profession and I have mine. But some of the things that have been said about their cases, which are supposed to be kept very confidential. You know, they start blabbering the jaws about things that are going on with these cases and the kids and the parents and, you know, how they truly feel about the children. You know, and like Mike said, the children are the future. This child may potentially be like your nurse one day or your nurse's aide that has to change your diaper and let you lay in poop all day because they remember, hey, don't I know you? You were the one that threw me into this foster home and basically let me get molested. And then you basically threw me out to the streets when I became 18. You know, oh, there's an extension now, 21. And I still had nothing else going on in my life. And I had nowhere to go. So I became homeless. I became a drug dealer. Or, you know, at this age, usually the gangs don't pick you up at this age. So you're a little too old to be initiated into the gang. And if so, you're like, well, he's the cleanup guy. Let him go clean up and bag up the bodies and put them over there in the sewers or the ocean somewhere. You know, this is the end result of what's going on. And it's sad to say, but it's a lot of DHS babies running through these streets causing havoc because this was the end of the road for them. Very sad story for many of these kids. You know, the 17-year-old that was murdered in Wordsmouth by a staff member, kid never got a proper funeral. Wouldn't be surprised if they burnt the body. The staff member was never arrested, never charged, never brought to justice. Like, where is the parents? Where is the ancestors of that 17-year-old? You know, it kind of makes you wonder, what in the heck is going on here? You know, what's really taking place with these children that are supposed to be the future? Are they being educated through this system, through the havoc? No. Because you got bodies dropping left and right. Don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love my career. But I am getting so sick and tired of dealing with these juveniles that are out of this system that has caused havoc for another family by taking the innocent lives of others because they have had such a traumatized childhood that they cannot cope with life at this point. So this runs very, very deep. You know, I was talking to this young man that actually there will be justice for him soon. He was shot 26 times by someone in Philadelphia. And I tell you what, the fear in his eyes of remembering. And mind you, this young man is only 20 years old, by the way, that was shot 26 times. He's lucky to be alive, still breathing. But this young man, the description he gave me, he said, this guy literally tried to rob me for $5. He said, I only had $5 in my pocket. And he said, this guy stood over him and basically emptied his gun on him. And yes, I will be participating in that specific case and helping justice be served because you're dealing with someone that has built up anger. For you to want to take someone's life over $5, what are you going to buy with $5? Okay, maybe Crown Chicken. The guy had on no jewelry. He wasn't driving a car. As a matter of fact, he took an Uber there. So he, you know, he has nothing to participate in senseless acts of crime. And it's because these children have suffered. And now they want others to suffer for what the system has done to them. And I'm finding out now that this assailant was also a product of the umbrella system. So this is what is out here today. You know, it's a very, very sad thing. You got the guy that actually walked his baby's mother into death that he's still missing, by the way, which good luck on finding them, guys. But you got these guys that participate in things. And at this point, I'm not sure if the kid would even still be alive, you know, that walked the baby's mother into death. And I know there's a traumatizing past life of his as well, because I've heard some stories from family members, you know, of the trauma that this guy has had growing up into and being, you know, put in that third party umbrella system. So people, be very careful on your surroundings today and who you have your kids around, and take good care of our future, which is our children, Be that dad, be that mom, be whoever you need to be to your children. Okay. And we're still praying for King Hill, King Mirandez, that he has a safe return home. Thank you to Tiana Park's attorney, who's going to get down to the bottom of things. We're still on the hunt for King Hill, and we still have Elisiana Carter in our prayers for what happened to her. Trial should be right around the corner. I hope everyone can chime in and listen in on that trial so you can hear some of the things that will be said, and you can make your decision at that point if, you know, things are what they say they are. But I'd like to thank everybody for joining in today. Next week, we have a great show. See you then. Have a great evening. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.